We good?
We're good.
All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-19-103. It is 2:02 on Thursday, July 25th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't either.
Commissioner Christman?
No, sir.
Okay, this is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first in this type of proceeding, as previously mentioned. To start, if we can go around the table, staff, if you could introduce yourself, then Ryan, yourself, and company representatives.
Jerry Leanne with staff.
Victor Shook with staff.
Ryan Long with Xcel Energy. Here in person on the phone, I have John Chow, Joni Zeke, Michelle McKnight, Gail Barranco, and Dave Cedarquist.
All right. Thank you. It's all yours.
Thank you. So this is another proposal to return money to customers, this time in a different fashion. This relates to the sale of our Westcott, a portion of our Westcott facility to Flint Hills LLC. The Westcott facility does a couple of things for us, or did a couple of things for us. One is the liquefaction and vaporization of LNG. The second is the storage of liquid propane for our Sibley plant, which is nearby. The transaction at issue in front of the commission today is just the LP side of the transaction. We've retained ownership over the LNG facilities, but we determined a while ago that we didn't need all of the capacity that those LP tanks were providing us. We actually had a lease agreement in place with Flint Hills for a number of years to pay for using those tanks. And then in, I believe, September of 2016, the Minnesota Office of Pipeline Safety did an inspection of the tanks and determined that we needed to make a $4 million investment to get them up to code, to get them under the compliance standards. We took a look at that, and we did a cost-benefit analysis, and it became pretty clear to us that it made sense to sell the tanks. They had a net book value at the time of just over $300,000. We got an appraisal. We discussed it with Flint Hills, which was the natural buyer for these tanks. These are very large tanks that aren't able to be moved, so we had kind of a limited universe of buyers for them. Talked to Flint Hills, and we negotiated a sale price of a gross $10 million for them. We determined that there wasn't any operational impact associated with selling the tanks. What we are doing now at our Sibley plant is trucking LP to the plant when we need it. It's a peaking plant, and so that's not a terribly regular occurrence. It depends where our peak demand is in a given year. The North Dakota portion, so it was $10 million of a gross sale price. Our transaction costs associated were just over $4 million, and the transaction costs related to a fairly in-depth inspection of the tanks, emptying the tanks. So these tanks have what's called a heel in them, which is a certain amount of LP that has never left the tank. It was in there from the very beginning, and that's what's required to keep them cool enough to liquefy the propane when it's in the tank. And so that's never come out of there, so we had to get that out of there. That involved two kinds of transaction costs. One, we sold a portion of that LP at a loss relative to what it was on our books for, but during the transfer of that LP, we lost pressure in the tanks and we had a deliverability issue, so we couldn't sell any more of it. From there, we had to flare the rest of the gas off. So that's part of the transaction cost there.
So is that a part of the $4 million?
It is part of the $4 million.
So the $4 million was to empty the heel, not just then inspections on top of that.
And then some other costs related to security. Because we were taking a combined facility and selling part of it to a third party, Flint Hills, we had to redo some fencing, redo some fiber optics for communications and security to our existing LNG facility, which we're maintaining there. Basically just to separate the right-of-ways as well, and so incurred some costs just to make that transaction happen.
How long did that process take?
It took a long time. It took, Joni, can you weigh in on exactly how long from the time we entered into the transaction with Flint Hills to when we are prepared to close?
Oh boy, it's
it's been a long time. Michelle, I know you're on. You've been working closely with the separation of the facilities. I mean, how long have you been working on this project?
It had been 2 years this past May.
Wow. Time flies.
Do you guys have a detailed list and the of the $4.2 million in costs with the amounts?
We do. We provided that in discovery to staff. I've got kind of an annotated copy here. It is attachment A to DR1-1. And I can just talk about it if that's helpful. It lists tank inspection costs of the tank inspection itself cost about $2.5 million. The removal and sale of the propane inventory was about $500,000. The facility modifications were about $600,000. And this is, you know, getting gas service and electric service separately to both facilities. Some additional system changes. And then the security costs were another $500,000 or so for fencing, cameras, the separate fiber line, and then the right-of-way fees that we paid to, at the recorder's office, et cetera, were approximately $200,000.
This must be a huge facility.
5 million gallons, I believe, is what the tanks hold.
Okay, this
But the site itself, just to...
Michelle, do you have a sense of how big the site is?
Joni, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought it was about 15 acres.
That sounds about right.
So how long did the inspection part take?
Michelle, can you weigh in on the duration of the inspection itself?
The internal tank inspection?
Yeah.
Well, that resulted in the $2.5 million. I'm thinking of a potential career change right now. No. I'm just.
Yeah, I mean, the tank inspection was an actual internal. We had to go inside the tank, which was about a 5 million gallon tank. So it was very critical before we could send somebody in there that we had to get all the vapor, you know, in addition to removing the inventory, we had to make sure that all the vapor was removed from the tank. Then it involved a very small area of the tank got opened up. So my understanding is it was almost like a tunnel. We had to have, security people on site to evacuate in case there was a problem with removing the actual people that went inside the tank. So that required a specialized crew. I believe they came in from Green Bay, Wisconsin, were the people that had the qualifications to actually do a safe rescue out of that confined space. Then we had to erect scaffolding in that 5 million gallon tank and then do the actual internal inspections and analysis of the inspections and the data that was retrieved during the visual inspection.
So, well, it's just a staggering amount. To me, it gets my attention. Were some of those costs applied internally, or was that all was the $2.5 million all for external vendors, services, et cetera?
I'll turn that over to Joanne and Michelle. Yeah, I believe that was just an external cost.
Okay.
That's correct.
Did XL have these
tanks? No internal labor was charged.
No subsidiary of XL did the work?
No.
Did XL have these tanks made new, or did you acquire them from someone else?
Joni, Michelle, do you know the history of the tanks when we purchased them? I know they're quite old.
They are. They're like 1970s vintage pipes. I'm assuming they were built and erected on site, new for us.
So that's pretty long, but it still begs the question, why did the ratepayers have to pay to build these if they're not really needed anyway, if you can just haul propane over to your generator?
Yeah, Commissioner, I think it's important to point out that the net book value here was $300,000, so we had depreciated these almost literally to within an inch of their life. So we got really close to the end of their useful life.
Still doesn't mean it was a good idea. if they're not needed.
Well, yeah, I think that's right. I will say that we entered into a lease with Flint Hills at a time in the 1990s. Those lease payments have been reflected in base rates, and so those lease payments have been credited back to customers, so we have passed all of the money that we've been able to get. We were also using a portion of these tanks up until recently to actually serve the Sidley plant.
Then why would I think that you're not going to need some storage in the future again?
We've come to a different place where we're able to truck in LP to the facility at a reasonable cost. We've been using it less, I think, over time, and so this has become a reasonable outcome. To be frank, I think that if we didn't have to invest $4 million in the tanks, the cost-benefit analysis probably would have told us to hang on to them, particularly the net book value. They were providing some use to us, but with having to make that $4 million investment is what made us confront this decision and do the cost-benefit analysis and flipped it in favor of selling them. The good news here is with only $300,000 or so in net book value, we were able to turn around and sell them for quite a significant gain. And just to be clear, the company's not asking to keep any portion of that gain just to offset the transaction costs.
Well, I guess this one does kind of concern me because I know that propane prices are volatile, and that sometimes in the calendar year, the prices are a lot more than other times. And so if you're going to be trucking it in to that facility and then paying winter propane prices when you have some trucked over there all the time, as opposed to storing it when you could buy it at summer prices, it seems like a lot of money is going to be lost on this and probably chew up. I don't know how much we use that plant, but it seems like $4 million could be chewed up in a hurry.
I think we looked back to the trucking costs associated with Sibley, which we've been doing here for a couple of years now, and I think the costs have ranged from $5,000 in a really low year up to about $80,000. And so we've calculated.
Trucking costs is one thing. I'm more concerned about the value of the propane compared to when you'll need it the most in this peaking plant compared to July.
Joni, do you have any thoughts about whether, you know, our thinking around the risk of propane costs in the future and letting these tanks go?
Yeah, we do also have storage at our Sibley facility. So we have 30,000 gallon tanks and 590,000 gallon tanks. So, you know, as we've looked at our load duration curve, you know, we think that we have adequate storage at Sibley. And unfortunately, I don't have my calculator going here to calculate the total storage of all that, those details I gave you. But we have calculated based on our load duration curve, and when we do have a design day, that does provide us those existing number of tanks at Sibley, provide us enough storage to meet our design day requirements. So we don't anticipate a lot of cycling of that storage throughout the winter season where we would be subject to those volatile price spikes you talked about.
Has a bunch of that been added recently?
I'm sorry?
So that was a lot of storage that she just named. Has a lot of that been added recently?
Joni, what's the vintage of the storage, the remaining storage on the system?
I believe, you know, those tanks at Sibley are very old as well. I don't know the exact vintage. I can tell you that I've worked for the company over 30 years, and I'm not aware of us increasing any of those tanks. Are not new since I started with the company.
Okay. Those tanks were also part of this inspection that kind of triggered all of this, and they were inspected and were fine?
I'll let Joni answer that. I don't believe so.
I'm not aware that they inspected the Sibley tanks. Again, those Sibley tanks are much smaller in nature, right? 30,000 gallon tanks, 90,000 gallon tanks, so much smaller. Don't require internal inspections like the two tanks, storage tanks that we had at Westcott are both over 5 million gallons. And, you know, under the code, require that internal inspection.
Okay. And if these, once they're sold and taken over by Westcom, what is the
Flint
name?
Hills.
Flint Hills. Is the agreement, do you have any liability remaining if there's future needs at those in the next year or a couple of years? Is there any liability in the contract that remains?
I don't believe so. I believe that we transferred the tanks to Flint Hills as is, and that Flint Hills also took on the responsibility of investing the $4 million to bring them up to compliance. But I will turn that over to Joni just for a second to confirm whether that's correct.
I believe that is correct.
So our proposal with respect to the sale proceeds from Westcott is, because we're on the gas side of the business, and because of the queue issues we've got for base refunds, we've proposed to apply the gain to the Fargo manufactured gas plant remediation deferral that's recoverable from North Dakota customers. This is similar to the treatment that the commission approved with respect to the TCJA money for the gas side of our business here in North Dakota. It mitigates costs of the MGP cleanup. We're always looking for opportunities to buy that down and to mitigate the uptick on the cost there. And it avoids kind of the rigmarole associated with having to find a place in the queue and get a base refund, and also seeking a cost of gas rider waiver. That cost of gas rider waiver also suffers from the same defects that the FCR waiver would, which is it's not terribly visible to customers. So we, because we're on the gas side of the business, because we were looking for the most efficient way to get those dollars back to customers, we landed on applying the gain to the Fargo MGP.
On the Fargo, on the TCJA funds, I'm trying to remember the number. Was it 2.8?
1.25 million.
1.25 per year. Okay, to be applied against the cleanup. And then this would just be a lump sum of 649.
Exactly. This is a one-time, whereas that's an annual, until we come in for a case, those TCJA dollars will be there. And so that was kind of an amortization of the deferral. This would be a one-time buy-down of the deferred amount.
How many gas customers do you have in North Dakota again?
Dave Cedarquist, are you still on? How many gas customers do we have in North Dakota?
Residential.
Yeah, about 57,000.
57,000 residential? And does
no,
that,
that's total customers.
Do you know how many
residential? Yeah, I'm not exactly sure the residential number. Probably close to 50,000.
Okay, and then is that a third of the business is residential? The balance would be industrial, large customers, or is it half and half?
What happened?
If you're talking customer count,
no revenue, total revenues. If you had to split the revenue up.
Yeah, I don't have that information in front of me. I'm sorry.
I can find it. I would assume far more usage goes to industrial.
Like a third
commercial accounts versus
residential, two-thirds, similar to like you might expect with electric, et cetera.
Similar, yeah.
Okay. You don't have to dig the numbers up. That's close enough.
Staff would be in full support of that kind of application. I think much like the Fargo MGP is a cost that really was caused by customers who are most likely no longer part of the system. This kind of transaction was resulting from very old tanks that were paid for by customers who may or may not kind of be part of the system. So it would be more appropriate, in my opinion, to apply it in that way. So,
on page 4 of the filing?
Mm-hmm.
This has the $5.2 million, the net amount, and $649,000 allocated for North Dakota, 12.48%. Is that the normal percentage of gas that North Dakota customers make on the whole system, or how's this one derived?
I believe that. Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say that the 12% is reflective of a capacity-related allocation between Minnesota and North Dakota distribution systems. So it's kind of like the demand allocator on the gas side of the business. And yes, North Dakota's been about 12% of the total NSP Minnesota gas business.
It's been fairly consistent, right, in terms of...
Over time, I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, numbers doesn't seem to have changed a lot, so...
Any other questions on the Westcott transaction?
I do not.
Nope, I'm good.
Staff, any other questions?
No, nothing for me.
All right. The handout, as well as the audio recording of this proceeding, is now considered evidence. Is there any objection to this evidence becoming part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached? Staff?
No objection from staff.
Counsel?
No objection from company.
Is there anything else anyone would like to add? Then the evidence as presented will now become a part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. I don't believe there are any other matters for the record. And seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you. And we have lost our audio support individual, which means we are still live. Steve, we're ready to close and transition to the next.